It has become very common and frequent for people to use the term Nazi as a means to, they call it, own someone, score political points. What that does is water down the true weight of the history that one word represents. What that also does is dismiss the horrors experienced by millions of its victims, which include my next guest, who is a Holocaust survivor today. She's the co-host, along with her son, of the podcast Surviving the Survivor. We say good morning to Carmela Waldman. How are you today, Carmela?
I am great. Thank you for asking.
And to learn more about Carmela's podcast and certainly to listen to it, there's a huge archive as well at survivingthesurvivor.com, and we've linked to it at our homepage as well. As I said, Carmela, and this has been done by both political parties over recent years, a rather loose use of the term Nazi to the point where it's watered down the horrors that that single word represents through history. In fact, as a survivor of what you were forced to endure in your very young age, how do you react when you hear the term used for politics instead of understanding what the history is really all about?
First, I have to make a caveat. I am only speaking for myself. I'm not speaking for the survivors.
Sure.
I Googled what is the definition of the word Nazi, because we use it so much and so indiscriminately that after a while it becomes, as you said, meaningless. I don't know if you said that, but it becomes like it's a diluted nothing word. In a certain way, I don't get a shock when people use the word Nazi, because so many people use it in so many contexts. I get a shock when people say, you know, it was another Holocaust. There is no way that something else was another Holocaust. It's like they say, oh, that was another Carmela. You know, there was one Holocaust, and the word Nazi, frankly, it doesn't shock me as much. And the definition is a member of the National Socialist Worker Party. And it's emphasized on Google that it has nothing to do with socialism, but rather with fascism. And fascism is the right-wing, authoritarian, ultra-nationalism and so forth, definition in Google. So to tell you the truth, maybe I got, you know, when you are exposed to something even toxic, after a while you don't even notice it as much from the frequency with which you hear this term.
Yeah, that might just be the curse of the frequency of it being used. And well,
yeah, but I don't expropriate. I am not. It's not my cultural expropriation. As a matter of fact, I feel very strongly because of the large number of Nazis in Germany during World War II. Maybe the Nazis should be called Germans at that time. Germans of that time. In other words, I am not as shocked as expected by the word Nazi as I am, as I said, when people say, oh, that's just another Holocaust.
Although my actual concern, though, is, I mean, I understand the point of view that you have, and we'll get to your story as well, because I think it's important for the person listening to understand what you had to endure. But I'm concerned about the people, the young people in schools today who are exposed to this overuse, frivolous use of what in its origins and through its history has some pretty heavy weight to it, and the confusion that will cause with the next generation.
Well, I don't know how much young people are educated in different settings and how much they know what the German plan was, especially the Nazi Party of Germany that many, many Germans joined voluntarily. And the purpose of it was to create a superior group of people, like Ubermensch, who would rule the world. And it wasn't only the Jews that they were going to eliminate. They were going to eliminate anybody who has any kind of issues with health, with handicaps, or anybody who is a gypsy or a homosexual. Everybody except the super race. So Nazi implied that in my perception of things. If you join the Nazi party, you join the party that had this value. The other value was that you had no free speech. You couldn't say what you think because it was total devotion to the party and to the state. Am I shocked? Unfortunately, there are very few things at this point at the age of 82 that really shock me. And I don't know in what context Cotton used it with our new Supreme Court justice, but it certainly doesn't sound that it was an appropriate use of the word.
Now, as I said, it was basically a way to score political points. It was a cheap, ignorant way to communicate what I guess his objections were. But that's part of the.
That happens all the time. That people, use terms without knowing the exact definition or what is behind the history of that word, the origin of that word, and so forth. So I'm not surprised.
Talking with Carmela Waldman, who is the co-host with her son of the podcast Surviving the Survivor, which she is a survivor of the Holocaust. We'll get to that now. And her website, survivingthesurvivor.com. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Share your story, because when that knock on the door came, do you at that point, because you were so young, were you aware? And because an adult would think everything's about to change forever. That would be one of the initial gut reactions, as they would say.
Well, first of all, I have to tell you one thing about my son and I started this podcast during COVID, and our podcast is not about the Holocaust. It is just that we were trying at that time to survive in a very rough world, and our podcast is more like humorous and very, very varied guests interviewing every week, and we are on all the places where you can find podcasts, including the YouTube, and we already have about 50-odd episodes. I was supposed to plug this. My son told me to plug this. But all humor aside, when I was 5 years old, I was born in 1939. This was very late in the war. Some places were already liberated in 1944. Unfortunately, tragically, we were not liberated, but we were taken in cattle cars that were leaving from the Frey station. There was a regular station and the Frey station in our small town where we were in the ghetto. They took us there, and by a miracle, as they were in the house, the Hungarians, who cooperated with the Germans, and they were going to take us to the trains. My mother took me by my hand and walked out through a back fence while my grandmother, grandfather, and father were in the front of the house, and she started to walk away from the ghetto, and that's how I survived. There were a few events, of course, how I survived, and a lot of righteous Gentiles who helped me, but I survived. And then ended up during the 50-year siege of Budapest. I ended up in Budapest. And the reason I am bringing this up is because this is a new trauma in my life at this age, that I am looking at the Ukrainians. My son says I mispronounce the word Ukraine. I pronounce it in Serbo-Croatian. So the Ukrainians are now going through very much the same thing that I vividly remember during the 50 years of bombardment and shelling and snipers and hunger in Budapest. So that was the grand finale of my survival story during World War II.
And a survivor you indeed are, and to get through that, to go on to the life that you have, a little Jersey pride, since we're based in New Jersey. Carmela is a graduate of Rutgers University.
I love New Jersey. I'm kind of now marooned in Miami because of my husband, who is in a wheelchair. My husband, I should say, of 60 years, who is here with me. And we couldn't travel during COVID. I was afraid he was too fragile. But we love New Jersey. We spent many, 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 many happy years in Highland Park, which is right next to Rutgers University. And then recently we moved where my daughter is also in New Jersey. And, of course, we now are here in Miami. So we did the whole thing. But New Jersey is where my son, my co-podcaster, was born, and he is crazy about New Jersey.
It's time well spent. There are a lot of podcasts out there that Carmela and Joel put together, a quality one that loosens your mind up and gives you a little life lesson along the way as well. You find out more about just life in general, how to have fun as well at surviving the survivor.
And our philosophy is we are all survivors, because life can be very rough and can be very difficult, as the last 2 years demonstrated to all of us. Life can be pretty tough. So we are all trying to survive, and we are trying to be entertaining. Joel, my co-podcaster, is a television person. He still is on television, and he's kind of the, we kid around that I'm the diva, and he's the producer.
And hopefully the producer always listens to the diva, right?
Well, I would hope so. He should be to his mother.
You got double bonus points on that one then. Carmela Waldman, thank you so much for sharing your story and having some laughs with us, too. And, you know, that's what life is all about. You have to be aware, but you got to have fun. It's one of my favorite quotes from Dean Martin. If you're not having any fun, you might as well just lay down and let them throw dirt on you.
That's a good one. I just saw him the other day. But in any case, thanks for asking me, and good luck to you. And it was great talking to you.
Issues and Ideas will continue right after this.